from humans, kobold learn hatred.
Lovely. That'll do. Welcome to the Science Fiction Rating System, the podcast that aims to rank every science fiction film from 1 to infinity. This week, we're watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not an ape, I'm a human.
We're all apes.
We're all, fundamentally.
All right, but we're not, are we, though? We're not apes like these apes.
We're grape apes.
Damn dirty apes. My name's Sam Draper. I'm joined by Chris Redding.
Hello.
And Alex Humphrey.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good. Yeah, good. Good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So
it's interesting our inability to remember the name of this film and the one before and the one after.
It's not our fault, is it?
No, it is. The naming is wrong. They've done something wrong here. It's not our fault.
So the one before Alex is referring to is Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which 2 weeks ago we re-ranked on our list. And there is... It's the fourth one, isn't it, coming out? Yeah, because there's...
Yeah.
There's War.
Is the next one.
Mm.
Which sounds... I mean, now have I don't think I'd seen this. By the end of this, that sounds like it makes sense as a title.
Mm.
But Rise didn't make sense the first... one being called that.
These are the wrong way around,
and,
aren't they?
Yeah,
they
it's are. The other way around,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Dawn was the
Dawn was
invention
the...
of the yeah. Of the thing, and this is the Rise. The,
yeah,
exactly. They've gone wrong. They've gone wrong.
And what's the fourth one called? Is it Kingdom?
Yes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Which I'm sure...
Empire, is it Kingdom? Empire.
Is it? No, oh, is Kingdom one of the old ones?
But Empire's in loads of titles right now. It's in the Ghostbusters one.
Yes,
it's,
Frozen
there's another,
Empire.
There's another
Frozen
one with Empire...
Empire.
There's another one with Empire in title.
That is the. Is anything Frozen Empire is the worst name for a film ever?
I know. Yeah. For some reason, they all think the word Empire is the one to have. Mm. Oh, it's the King Kong one, isn't it? Like the new Empire.
Oh, yeah. Godzilla X Kong. Like it's a shoe line. Sorry.
I'm hopefully seeing Frozen Empire. Annoying.
Hopefully.
Well, the day before it comes out, so I don't know if that's any good, really. But it always worries me. I'm, you know, a bit of insider. If you get press tickets to a film the day before it comes out,
that's not a good
that
sign.
Normally means that they don't have much confidence in how good the film is, because it means if you do your review or we did an instant podcast, it's too late. We can't, you know. But yeah, maybe a spoiler cast on that. Depends if, you know, if anyone can be bothered.
I made it about 10 minutes into the last one.
Oh, really? You didn't make it all the way? Oh.
I just thought, what's the point? Like Rick Moranis. Yeah. And he said, what's the point? I just thought, I don't need to watch this. Why upset myself? You know,
time,
why do this to myself?
Yeah, they really dropped the ball on the timing, didn't they? There was a time when we all wanted Ghostbusters 3, Ghostbusters Go to Hell.
Yeah,
it never happened.
Right, yeah.
And it's now it's too late. It's just,
well, they burned all the goodwill of that lady one, didn't they? That's the problem.
Mm.
Anyway,
I prefer the lady one to these ones, actually, in a lot of ways.
At least it was its own thing.
At least it's new.
Trying
to be. At least they're trying to new, yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Ghostbusters. We keep going on the wrong film. We did it last time as well.
Yeah.
Right. We are here to talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Had you seen this before, Alex? You said no.
I don't think I had. No, I thought I had, and I don't think I had. I didn't really... I kind of thought I had, and then when I started watching it, I was like, no, I don't really remember any of this.
So had you seen it before, Chris?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd seen this before. I was really into these movies when they were coming out.
See, I wasn't, but I watched this after we did the other one on the pod, whenever that was. Mm. And that's all I'll say for now. so it kicks off, and they, like we said last week, that end credits for the first film is fantastic, all the lions going around the world, and they obviously agreed because they start this film... by using those red lines again and showing you that the world has really gone to shit.
Don't you just find this kind of stuff just upsetting now? Like,
well, my first note was, in a post-COVID world,
it's just horrible.
It's too real, isn't it? It's too real.
Way too. I mean, it's like a 1 in 500 survival rate. They have, like, national law. Nuclear meltdowns happening. government, all government functions suspended. It's just horrible. And like I said, I sent you those viral marketing campaign they did. There was a website for simian flu, and then they made these little three little short films as well that were supposed to bridge the 10-year gap, and they're just really... I couldn't even watch them. They're just too depressing. Like, they're just like, we've lived this now. We don't need...
It's quite funny, though, because obviously these movies had such resources that they probably had, like, really good, like, epidemiology, like, people who were advising them.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, so they seemed like a really ahead of their time. And then all these sort of lingo we only learnt in COVID.
Yes,
Yeah.
I agree, Alex. It's not comfortable to watch at all. I was very glad when they just get to, like, the apes. I don't want to think about how we got to this point because it felt very real.
Yeah, at least you don't have to see, like, 10 years of suffering. Everyone's just got, like, dead people that they... Every so often a character in this will look at a picture and just be like, ah!
And also, like, the way... When we get to it, the version of this future that exists is so... nonsensey Hollywood that it's a lot easier to take. If it was any sort of more real, it would be a bit hard to watch, but it's just such bullshit that it didn't really affect me. The start of this film, we mentioned last week how good the CG was on Rise.
Yeah,
so this film is 10 years old, this one, and it looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, really
still
good.
And they're showing you this
it's
first
because
they're
there's
showing
so many. Normally in this kind of thing, it works and everyone's a human and then one, and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But because everyone isn't real, I don't know why, but it just works. It's so well done. They must have really, is it the money they put into it or just better?
I think the advancements in, like, all the elements of it, so like fur, movement, and you know, kinetics of like how apes move and how they can study and copy.
I think
it just moved leaps and bounds. And I bet now it'd be kind of a joke, like how much probably hard work it was when they were doing this.
Yeah.
To now, there'd probably be tools which could probably do it using AI very easily,
a lot faster.
This
is very much the era of Andy Serkis in a stupid suit. Jumping around a stage, isn't it, and lots of that business.
Yeah.
But this opening, though, is I thought was still very impressive. The fact it's raining as well, you know.
Have you ever been to the Mer Woods where this is set? It's just one of my favourite places.
Where is it?
Where is that?
So it is like half an hour drive. You go over the Golden Gate Bridge,
and it's another half an hour. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it's like amazing. You can go to like these pretty ancient forests, like within a 40-minute drive from San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's really good.
We went there on Lucy's 30th birthday, I think. She got extremely sunburnt on the way back. That's why I remember that.
Yeah.
And I had a Carl's Jr. and it was delicious. And she was just really ill, couldn't eat it. It was a fantastic day. Well, for me, it was fantastic.
But it's like going to Endor. It's just
it's mad, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah. So the start of this film, I was confused. I watched it twice because for a long time there's no dialogue.
Yeah, I had this. Yeah.
Hand moves.
Yeah.
And I was just like thinking, oh, this is pretty cool. We have to have to work out what they're doing.
Yep.
And then you got like the bit where I think it's when the kid's born, and I was like, no, we obviously meant to.
That is, I did exactly the same thing. I was nah, come on now. No, I can't have to be getting all of this now. I don't need to know ASL or whatever. Like, this is too much. And then I went back and I was like, oh, right, everything is explained.
So that's a PSA for if you're watching a perhaps non-legit copy. Not that I wasn't, but our screeners are quite
I just turned on
bare bones,
my Blu-ray.
So, my subtitles were turned off, but I turned them on and it made more sense.
But still pretty brave for a huge Hollywood sequel to just be like,
definitely,
screw you, you're going to have to read for quite a long time. I mean, a human doesn't turn up for a while, do they? So
No, it is very brave. I think it's a really good opening. The way like they show you, they catch up really fast on where the apes have got to. They've got like a simple society. They're hunting. They're teaching the kids to hunt. They've got like they learn to read and things, aren't they, on the walls and stuff. They show you your favourite apes from the first film, Cobra, Caesar.
Already a bit of a hierarchy going though, isn't there? Because there's like a royal family, and then there's the other. You know.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know.
Isn't it? Yeah.
They're all high and mighty, these apes, but I think they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Caesar is a big hypocrite. Definitely.
Especially, they've obviously watched Lion King because he's got that rock where he goes out and like, oh, the kids. Like, he goes out and does like balcony appearances, doesn't he?
And they've got the big fat one as the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that fat one?
The orangutan.
Right?
Orangutan.
Yeah. Is that what he's an orangutan? Is that going to have sex with a normal monkey to live on and make.
Well, I assume there's more orangutans.
You never see another one, do you, though?
Maybe there isn't.
Because they came out of a zoo, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, there was only one orangutan in that enclosure.
Yeah, because is there only one gorilla as well?
Yeah, I think there is. So they're fucked up, that line of monkeys. Yeah,
unless they link up with other collections of apes.
And Kobo is a bonobo.
Bonobo.
Yeah, he's
bonobo.
Not. Yeah, he's
Kobo
not
the bonobo.
Kobo the bonobo.
That's fine to say, isn't it?
Who are notoriously quite peaceful. They're not really that. They're
sex crazed.
Yes, they're that, but they're not. I don't think they're particularly violent. So it's kind of a weird.
They're like a different race of chimpanzee, aren't they?
Mm.
They're like from a different part of, like, the river. They're like from the opposite side of the river where they
maybe evolve. As Kobo is the only bonobo, it's the lack of sex that's made him so miserable. Yeah. Maybe that's why he's so angry.
Maybe.
Because he is angry.
They are a more emotional one. They're more human-like, they said they are. Well, in some ways, it's funny, because he is representing the human flaws of their society, right?
Yeah, so the film kicks off when some apes meet a human. This guy, you think he looks a lot like the guy in Alien Resurrection? Do you remember the guy who's got the alien inside him? He's got the chest hugger in him.
Which one? Malcolm, the main guy.
Not
the
Jai Courtney, what his name is. Is that his name?
The kind of beardy family guy, or the stupid Carver?
Clark, no. The Carver.
Yeah.
He looks like the guy with the case of the face hugger, don't you think?
I think, yeah, maybe. He's in so many things. He's just one of those actors that's in, like, what have I written that he was in? He's just in everything. I've got Thin Red Line, Band of Brothers and Oz, but he's in loads of stuff.
Right. Well, he's very hot-headed and he shoots an ape.
Yeah.
And I think he is the... It's downhill from here, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, I think it was downhill from when they started making a drug which can make apes, like, really intelligent. And it killed humans. Wow. That's when it was downhill.
Pre-film.
Well, last film.
Last film. It went downhill.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're at rock bottom now.
he shoots the ape. Jason Clark. He's called Jason Clark. Who's Jai Courtney? Who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, he's someone completely different. Is this man in this film in Terminator Salvation?
Jason Clark. Yes, I think he is, yeah.
All right. For some reason, I thought his name was Jai Courtney. I don't know what's happened there in my brain. He's not called that. The guy looks nothing like him.
Yeah.
He's the... Is he in Salvation?
I think...
No, Genesis. He's in Genesis. Oh, that's what it is.
He was in one of them, yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking dog shit. Anyway, so he is... he's not the leader. He's the co-leader of the humans, isn't he? What do you think about this dude?
He's very boring, isn't he?
Yes.
And do you notice that there's probably five separate occasions where he walks into where Caesar is and then has to apologise... Like, he does it five times where he turns up somewhere he's not supposed to when he's been told not to come and he has to apologise. It happens five times. And well, Caesar's always just like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, no, I'm really sorry, I'm really sorry. It's kind
They do make the humans out to be, like, vagrant crackheads. Like...
Yeah.
That, and essentially, if you go downtown San Francisco, they've got a pretty good representation of it in this film.
The tenderloin.
It's odd, isn't it? Because basically the whole conceit seems to be that humanity was terrible and awful and just, like, savage. Yeah. But then they got power, like just electricity, and that's the only thing keeping everyone in this kind of society?
And
they're on the edge because it's going to... The generators they've got are going to go.
Yeah, they've made, like, a kind of a Mad Max Thunderdrome sort of... situation, haven't they? They've got this sort of, like, little tribe in San Francisco, which they appear to be living in, like, a shopping arcade, don't they?
Yeah.
I think it's a station, main station.
It's a station, right. The scale felt really odd to me. Like, how they showed you a wide shot of San Francisco, and they're like, all the shots are in basically one room, aren't they?
Yeah, really? Yeah. It was odd. Yeah. I couldn't understand it.
Like, was it meant to be a town, or was it that there were so few left?
And isn't there like a skyscraper, above, like a half built one
or
something?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. And it didn't make sense.
It's tall, did it? No.
No, and I mean, I got the whole radio. It was one of those situations where there was a bit too many of them.
Mm.
It would have made more sense if there was only 15 of them or something.
Yeah, I mean, if it was down to me, if I was running this setup, right, surely you want defensible. It needs to be defensible. Like,
that was not at all.
From humans, more primarily, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try and take your ship.
Yeah, which isn't, it isn't at all.
Alcatraz is right there.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, well, that'd have been good. That'd have been really cool. They'd all lived on Alcatraz. It just there were just too many of them. They should also have more like, of a society if there's that many of
I'd
them.
I'd be great in an apocalypse, by the way.
Would you?
There's some I half like dream of, like, obviously it'd be bad that everything's gone to shit.
Yeah.
But there's something like about it is like if everything just gets like slate wiped clean, like this is now what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Do you not think you'd just be killed by the worst elements very fast?
That, like, yeah, but then you have to become the worst elements. That's
and you
the
think
thing.
you'd be happy just going slaughtering people?
Well, that's the new game.
And you'd be fine with that, though. You think you're ready for that? You could.
That is the new game.
That's the new game. Okay.
He's not going to say it, but yeah.
Chris is up for
I don't particularly like being like capitalist, like screwing people for money.
No, no, nor me. But I don't think I'll be able
that
to.
That is the current game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. I just think that...
What you're saying, Chris, is you're ready to play whatever game it is.
Yes. Game on.
Wow.
Wow. We've all learned something.
That's why he's got that filter on, because he's got, like, a rack of guns behind him. A prepper sort of bag ready to go.
No, I'm just saying, I just think if your mind has to now just set to, like... So I used to love, like, camping and, like, just figuring stuff out, building stuff. I love building stuff, like... I just think that would be more back to basics. I don't really put much thought into, like, you know, if you'd have to do violent things.
But. Yeah, that's the... So, if it was an apocalypse, right, I would like to be, like, on the Isle of Skye or somewhere like that, somewhere very remote. Yeah. I like the idea of, like you say, going back to basics, having a little farm, not have to worry about any fucking shit.
Yeah.
But what I know is it would be Mad Max, it would be the road, it would be people trying to eat my legs and stuff, wouldn't it? And that's... That's the reality of
your,
it, isn't
your
it?
Legs wouldn't get any action, mate.
My legs are quite long. I get a lot of meat off
long,
my legs.
Long,
I'll have
tasty.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's what that's my... Alex, where do you come down the apocalypse? Are you looking forward to it? Or
not really. I'm not looking forward to it. I don't think I'd last very long. I agree with you. It'd be nice to be out somewhere, but I think I'd be constantly fretting that we'd be besieged by, you know... Oh, our boat's just drifting. Please, we just need a couple of cans of beans. And then you just, your gun's coming
you're dead.
Out. You're all dead.
The truth is, at the moment the electricity goes off, right, and there's sirens and stuff going off somewhere, Lucy and I are on that bed, holding hands, fucking topping ourselves. We're out of here.
What?
I just kill myself.
And then Chris is at the door being like, well, that's easy,
oh,
mate.
That's not... At least let me use you as a human shield.
No, I can't bother with that. I'm not being like some sort of like... Like torture
Twink.
Thing, some pervert. I don't want to be. I don't want to get Mad Maxed. You know, you know, in the road when it goes to that basement, there's that guy. He's got the, everyone spoilers for the road.
Yeah.
There's a cannibal who's got people tied up. That would be me down there tied up. I don't want that life.
No,
having bits of me sawn off.
No,
gradually.
I don't think that would be you because I think it's going to reset onto like who's the cleverest. It'd just be like, and you play so many video games like Quake or whatever, like Half-Life and these fucking things. I think you'd actually be really good at it because you'd know like how to do booby traps. You have thought about all that.
I suppose. I just think that the
basically,
Marvel
I think we should link up somewhere around.
Okay. Yeah, we should set a coordinate now.
Somewhere around
it goes
Oxford.
Down. That's
okay.
Because...
We'll all head there.
I think in that sort of area, oh no, the problem with Oxfordshire, it's farmers, they've got guns.
Yeah, we need an island. I think an island was a good call.
I think, or like Wales, somewhere in Wales.
Somewhere secluded. But you need, it needs to be defensible at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And
this,
not,
This bloody place isn't. It's no. It's really
you need to
easy
get hold
to
of a
sneak.
Shooter, which is quite difficult in the UK.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I know where one is.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So we're going to link up.
Yeah. My
I'm
21 wow. minutes. Let me just write it down because I've got to cut that out.
No, because you don't want other people to know that information, Sam.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
private. Why give them a heads up on the apocalypse, you know?
I've like, got, like, a plan to get out of London. Like, I know what to do, right, if there's a flash outside.
Right.
You mean like, a flash?
You know, if London was attacked.
Okay. Well, like an EMP, or do you mean just like...
No, like a
bomb.
A
or...
nuke.
Okay. Oh, God.
Well, you're dead, aren't you? If there's a nuke, you're too close. You're all going to be dead. I'll be
well,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, actually. If you're within the... Where I think they'd hit, I think I'd probably be okay. But...
so grim.
I wouldn't get incinerated.
Yeah, but you'd be heavily irradiated, wouldn't you?
The building would take a batter. Yeah. No, right. Well, I don't think it'd be heavily irradiated either, because they'd probably be airburst, and that doesn't really cause as much...
Where are you going, then? Sorry, where's your...
So, yeah, so the Northern Line... I think I'd just walk up the Northern Line.
Oh. Underground?
Underground.
Yeah. Mm.
The trains would be stopped.
Yeah.
In the tunnels. Now, there's going to be some mental people stuck on the trains, whoever was riding the trains when it all turned off. And also, you've only got like a couple of hours before the tube floods. So you'd have to get out quickly.
Surely the last place you want to be is underground. If everyone's gone mad... You want to get away from people, not trapped in a bloody hole.
Okay, like, I probably wouldn't go down on the underground, I know my route and I know what I'd do.
So anyway, Chris is going to survive. I'm not. Let's get back to the film.
I mean, if apes take over, we're all fucked. I think.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
They are stronger. Yeah, could you?
They are
stronger. Yeah. So now
and cleverer at this point.
My problem with this film, right? My overriding problem. Who do you, so this. This film, who do you think we're supposed to be rooting for in this
Caesar.
Film? Is it it's the apes?
Yeah, Caesar. Caesar's the hero. Like,
Because you see their idyllic society that they're trying to set up.
I think we're
on the apes' side here. I think this is what's good about these films.
Yeah, I agree. I think you might maybe think Malcolm's... He's just such a pussy, isn't he? Malcolm's supposed to be likable, but he's just a... Just annoying. It's quite annoying.
But again, he's not giving off the classic human traits.
No. Caesar is the... And also, you've pretty much watched the entire film of his origin story. So he's the one you're kind of, you know...
Caesar's the most humane one in the film.
Yeah, I agree. He's reasonable as well.
I agree, and I wish they had the... They showed you... They didn't have to have humans being friends... Sort of the whole thing with Jason Clarke, Malcolm, and their little band. Well, for starters, their band, their mission is to come back and to turn the dam on so they get some power, basically.
Yeah,
and he goes, "I've got to bring a team." Why does he bring the one guy who was shot?
Oh, sorry, he does say that he has to bring that guy because he's the one that used to work for the water company.
See, that's
yeah, so that's funny. Stupid. But then that's where it gets stupid that there are that many people that you're telling me no one else in those hundreds of people didn't have is a plumber or didn't have some. Kind
I don't
of
know.
Skills.
I think it's a pretty. I think it's pretty good luck that everyone's dead except for a few hundred people, and one of them happens to be the water guy.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep saying, don't they? They just keep saying, "Oh, we just must be immune to this flu. Like, we just must have a." Natural immunity. They don't really understand why they're alive and other people are dead.
But that's fair enough, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, they're throwing up in... It's, what, 10 years later, isn't it? So that's fair enough that they would know that.
Yeah.
There's also... So Gary Oldman's also in this, but they obviously had Gary Oldman for, like, a long weekend because he basically, like, stays in one room and doesn't leave it until the end of his session room.
It's really rubbish, actually.
He's terrible. He's not. It felt like he was just really there for the money. He's not even really trying, is he? And it makes it worse. You know the bit when he looks at the picture of his kids?
Yeah.
They're actually his children.
Oh, are they?
So it's like, it's almost like he couldn't even be bothered to pretend he had kids. He's like, just show me my own kids. I can't even really connect with this character. I have no. It's such a rubbish character. And
it,
He's not a leader either. Like, why is he their leader?
Well, you know how they're like kind of co-leaders? It almost felt like they got Gary Oldman and they thought, well, hang on, he's not prepared to do the whole film, so we'll split his character in two and give give him a couple of scenes here. Because
It's like that other guy was like the mobile Gary Oldman.
Yeah, it's like it was one character. Because he's got no agency of his own in the film, has he, really? No. Other than he blows up the tower at the end. But, like...
No.
You know, because no, all he does is he says, like, you've got 3 days to fix this. If you don't, I'm going to kill people.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to kill the apes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt real bish. I think it felt really cheap. Also, you know how, like, the humans who are preparing the guns, that's, like, one tiny little scene where they've got, like, two rifles set up and they're shooting a bus.
Yeah, they go back twice. Yeah, two or three times.
And it was days later, isn't it? And they're still there shooting the same guns down the thing.
That's, like, really silly.
It just feels so cheap.
I do quite like that bit when Cobra's there and they like figure out and then he does
the best bit.
He does all the really ridiculous like chimpanzee.
They did that
stuff
as like a trailer. I remember seeing that as like a teaser for the film. Yeah. I was like, this is actually quite grim.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Especially when he just pulls the gun out and he just shoots.
Yeah, he's just like
way holding
it.
Yeah. What were you gonna say before that,
Chris? I don't believe the biggest things I can't believe in this film is the world has come to a gradual end. It's all gone to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years has passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only now they have found this stash of weapons.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, this information is only just coming out now.
Yeah. And also, like, they've had 10 years. And they've now got 3 days to fix the power.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, you'd be fixing it for ages. You would have worked out long ago we're going to run out of power, wouldn't you? Like, it's a bit...
Yeah.
Or you just... I mean, if they haven't made arrangements by now, they're dead.
Yeah. There's also a funny line when he goes back and Gary Oldman's like... Initially, he's like, you've got 3 days. And he goes like, it will probably run out in a couple of weeks, whatever. He keeps changing his mind because, of course, they've got to have power for the big fight.
Yeah.
It's not really worked out the time frame.
We need to floodlit that big building because the big fight happens there in a couple of days' time.
Yeah,
so
that's it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the film is like the humans and the apes trying to trust each other. And like you said, Alex, it's the same thing over and over again of like the guy makes a bit of progress, a human fucks it up, the guy apologises.
Yes.
Caesar's like, oh, you know, I'm not happy with it, but you've got one more chance kind of thing, isn't it? Over and over again.
It's very heavy-handed. The human element, not the apes is fine. The human side is very heavy-handed. The, you know, his girlfriend and his son, who's a bit odd and reads graphic novels, and
rubbish.
That's all very heavy. Weirdly, that's all heavy-handed. It actually makes you care more about the apes because they seem more nuanced. Like, the apes actually feel like more interesting, subtle characters. The humans all feel like quite badly 2D. Like, they don't seem...
The story is how the apes are going to govern themselves, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And how old is that kid supposed to be, do you think?
Oh, yeah,
he looked like mid-20s, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But he acted like a...
But he was supposed to be, what, 14?
Oh, well, yeah, I couldn't work it out. Know. Yeah. And also, I'm sorry. But
so how's he been educated?
Yeah. But also in every other kind of, every other kind of apocalypse film... Children like that, they grow up pretty fast. Like, you've seen some shit. So you're probably at that point, you're a soldier. But driving trucks and stuff for them. Like,
but he'd be talking like a caveman. Like, he'd be... He'd be so stupid. He wouldn't even have, like, primary school education.
Mm. Well, we don't know, though, because they're so nebulous about the civilization they've got. You don't know what's happened in that 10 years.
Okay, it could be like Matrix, where, like, this city has got everything...
Because there's one shot where they go over and there's fucking thousands of them. It's at the end, isn't it? When they're like dragging the humans out.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, like, from what we could see, it looked like there was one large hall with a couple of shops on the side of it. But now it's as though there's tons of them living there.
It doesn't make sense that way. And also didn't really understand why they're big. Again, if it was a small group, it makes sense. But as a big group, I don't know why their big mission is to contact other people. Surely they're... Why do you need
It's the
that?
Worst thing to do.
Yeah, it's the, yeah, you're just bringing... Aren't you just bringing like the marauders or people who've got nothing to you to like in every other film like this? There's a society that is walled off and working, and the characters kind of stumble on it, and they're not really going to be let in.
Yeah, and also 10 years, and you're telling me you haven't got like someone's not come from LA or like from Seattle or whatever, like you've not met anyone who's from another big conurbation who can tell you that they are, because they keep saying, don't they, or maybe the rest of the world's all right.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah. And in the end,
you could walk from LA to there. Like,
yeah.
And in the end, they get someone's hold of like a military, a lot of military people, don't they, or something.
Also, I feel they'd like be a lot more organized in that sort of military sense.
Yeah.
They, you'd because have they have be. Gone through all of that like breakdown of society and survived.
Mm. Yeah.
And they, if you're going to try and start a more civilized society, right, you'd get all your weapons in one place and you'd have it organized in the sense that if you needed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You check them out.
Not in they're all away. The weapons are all kept somewhere else, aren't
they? Well, they say they've only just found them as well. Like they just, there's like a rumor of a weapons.
I just don't buy that at all.
It's very odd, that. Yeah.
It's the whole thing is as though they didn't exist until like the start of this film, isn't it? And they just they just appeared.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if a city like that has deteriorated, like those stashes would have been used like day two,
ages ago. Yeah.
Like,
It's just not thought through because like I said, the story they're trying, they want to tell the story about the apes and they've realised they've got some humans and they've not bothered to think any of this through in a meaningful way.
No.
And what I do like about it is because it's set in that station and it's all like that stone, like Greco, Roman Greco architecture.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like when you see the apes in that setting, they could have like this Greco-Roman civilization, you know, they only need like a chest armor and a helmet and a thing. Like it's starting to feel like that, and I just wish they would have gone a bit more down those routes for the first film.
I think there's some good, like I say, I think the humans are the weak link. I think a lot of the stuff with the apes is kind of interesting. I think the conflict between Cobra and Caesar is interesting.
Yeah.
The way he kind of betrays him so many times is well done. The son, his son, blue eyes, and the kind of like how he doesn't really, the son doesn't really believe what Caesar's doing and then kind of regrets what he's done. Yeah. I think it's the monkey, all the ape stuff is kind of interesting. But the humans just let it down.
I think the problem as well, though, is that because they're tied to this idea that monkeys aren't a just developing speech.
Mm.
It can't be very nuanced because that's not what they can do yet, which is fair enough again. But like, it's not like you said. That's the only interesting bit of the film. So like, then you can't really flesh it out because they are just monkeys going like monkey sad, monkey bad kind of thing to each other.
Yeah,
it's all a bit and I think that's why because the conflict with Caesar and Kobo is over about an hour in, is it? Probably a bit further than that. It's quite early on that they have that moment where he pretends, he shoots Caesar to kill him, goes to the monkeys and says, Caesar's dead, they've set ours on fire, we've got to go and attack the humans.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of Caesar in that fucking jeep, half dead, going on a tour of like showing you clips from the old house.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's just so boring, isn't it?
I do really, really like that bit where they have the humans bring out the tank and the monk, the ape gets on the tank and it's all from a locked off shot on the tank.
That's really good. With it that rotating around.
Really well
you
filmed.
You see the Matt Reeves who made the Batman in that shot, don't you? Like that's very much the same directing of that thing.
It really
it's really well done, that is.
Because it's simple because it's a locked off camera, but it makes you completely believe that it is just a real monkey, and like you really do, like it really looks really, the kind of chaos of it. Mm. That looks really good.
Yeah, the bit when he goes down into it, he pulls the dude out again. And
then
the turret just keeps turning on its rotation. Yeah, that you're right. That's probably the best shot in the film, isn't it? That?
Yeah,
it's
really. And that's why I know we're going to do the third film, but they don't cover any more ground in the next one. We get to this bit where they're using these stuff. And, like, it would be good if they actually, like, happened across, like, maybe the humans kept, like, the library together and it had, like, some works of art and some things from human civilization there, like books and art. And, there was maybe the realization of the apes of, like, oh, the humans have all this stuff that they've lost or.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess it's where, like, you're saying about June. Where June succeeds and this fails is that we're not moving enough generations forward. What would be more interesting is if this second film had been 100 years after the first film, so or even 50 years. So it's not Caesar, it's quite a few generations and how, what, yeah, like you said, Chris, like how they've interpreted society and how they've built their society and where, how it's influenced by humans, how it's not influenced by the stuff that's, because it's quite cool when there's like, there's buildings, aren't there, but they're covered in the grass and they're not really they're not really using them. You've not gone really far enough away.
I think they could still cover ground, but it'd still be within Caesar's lifetime. I don't think they cover the bonkers ground that they could have got away with, given that they've already explained that apes become intelligent.
Yeah. I think you could. I think this time frame would work if the film was from the point of view of the humans. Because, like I say, the way the apes communicate and stuff, I don't think works very well. And you don't. I know you're meant to root for the apes. But you've got the human people. But you've also got the human element that isn't bad. Like it's a misunderstanding, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you shot it all, if you did it all from the point of view of the humans, being like, we've got to go out, basically, we've got to get out and explore, and then coming across these apes.
Yeah.
And it's more like the sort of, well, like Predator or something. Like it's a mystery in the jungle. Like what's going on? They're getting picked off or something like that, and then eventually they get taken into this ape civilization, and they're paraded in front of them. So I think it's a mistake to lead with the apes and show you that first of all. I think that's the thing it's got.
Yeah,
because once you've seen that, it's kind of it's like, what else can you show you that's interesting? I don't want to see this boring town that's rubbish. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel it would have worked better, but
yeah,
and especially because the climax of it, I don't think make much sense really. Like the apes go into the apes invade the town, and start to imprison the humans, and it's clearly. This is because they've got to hit points from the old apes films, haven't they?
Yeah.
So humans in cages, that's the bit we're going to show.
Yeah, you've got to start. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really... I know, like, because Kobo used to be in a cage and that's why he wants them in cages.
Mm.
But what's the end goal of any of this, really? Like, what's actually happening? You know?
No,
and they've got this. They've got this tower and stuff, and it's like... It just feels so, like, contrived, don't you think? Like, to get this big finale.
Yeah, just to get a big fight, like a proper fight. Yeah.
It's not believable from, like, the humans just hanging out in the middle of the city. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's like, if you had all those people that you need to feed, like, you know, Napa Valley is, like, 2 days' walk away, and that's, like, some of the most fertile, like, farming area that you could be in.
Yeah, why
like,
are they
Why
there?
Wouldn't you go to that? Like,
yeah.
They also capitulate really easy, don't they, as well? There's like a bit of fighting, and they show every human's like, oh, God, don't attack me.
But it's like what Chris says, every human would have a gun, probably. You'd all have a gun, because you'd be like, I don't trust you. A minute ago, we were all eating each other. Why would I trust you now?
They're armed to the teeth now. Like, it's literally...
Yeah, it's weird. It's like they've gone...
Those apes wouldn't have a fucking chance.
No, like... it's like they've become too passive too quickly, haven't they? Yeah. Like, it didn't... Yeah. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
Because it falls apart so quickly and
And
Gary Oldman just doesn't help. He just shouts and he's just awful. He's just rubbish.
And in the first film, we only see them like fighting the police or whatever, and they go to the woods. It's like, like the next day, the army would just come in and just toast them. Like it'd be like,
Why were they just left there? Like, why were they allowed to just be? Why were they just allowed to be there?
In the next film, Chris, do they explain what else is going elsewhere in the world? Are there other apes, or do they not get to that?
They kind of not really. No, it's like we're still with that tribe this moving across country, they miss a massive, massive open goal in terms of how they could have made it amazing. But I'll wait until we.
I'm kind of interested to watch the next one. I didn't hate this. I was enjoying it enough to go, you know what, I would watch a third one. I thought it was a reasonable progression of the first one.
I don't think they progress enough at all.
But it did well. I've just
this could have been the third act of the last film.
Yeah.
Like nothing has moved forward in the storytelling.
Not enough, no.
Well, no, because I mean, even the Kobo Caesar thing was in the first film, wasn't it? You knew that was there. And they fight stupid. And when he, like... Also, Caesar, when he goes... You know, when he, like, he's holding him in the tower, and the Kobo's like, oh, you know, don't hurt any ape. And he goes, oh, you're not an ape, and drops him.
Yeah.
Kind of a dick move, really. Like,
well, it's like, now you're just doing all human shit.
Yeah, like...
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know, it's just... And then at the end of the film, when he talks to that Malcolm, and they're like, well, you know, we were going to be mates. It's not worked out. We're going to war now, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know that wasn't the original ending?
Oh, was it not? What was the...
No, in the original ending, the apes return to Muir Forest with a military battleship pursuing them. Director Matt Reeves changed the ending following ambiguous reactions by the preview audience, citing that the original ending skipped emotional beats and should not end with an unknown entity. The present ending was filmed several weeks before release, with him directing Jason Clarke and Andy Serkis via Skype conference call, with Serkis's stand-in providing his lines for Clarke on set. So that isn't... That's all... So that whole, when he goes back into the shadows and all that, that just was done weeks before release. So that's quite... So the real ending was them just riding in what, a ship? Just like, what, alongside? Like, well, that's a bit weird. Well, that's really weird.
Well, in the bay. It must be in the bay, mustn't it?
Wait. And then, so as in, like, here come the army. Like you say, they're just going to kill them all.
What, like the Navy have turned up?
Yeah,
what?
Military battleship, which is the battleship that... They say, don't they? They've radioed and they say, we've got the whole of the military, they're coming to help. Like, they're going to come.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird. The way it does end is with, they zoom in on the ape's eyes. Yeah. It's for about a minute. They start so far back. It's like, it just goes on and on and on. It's very strange. The thing, that kind of, there's little bits in it where they think they're making something so profound, don't they?
Mm.
So this is a big fucking stupid film with some apes.
That happens a lot in, like, zombie-type movies, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Apocalypse films. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so overall, before we rate it, Chris, what's your... Do you like it more than the first one or less than the second
one? No, less than the first one, because I think it did cover the same sort of ground, and I was hoping for this one to end where literally they're all dressed as Romans and they've got the fucking whole, like... You know what I mean? Like, they've found a museum of, like, the Roman shit stuff there, and they've got the armour and they've put it on and they're fighting and they've got this whole civilization which looks like... our antiquity, but it's apes.
Yeah,
that's how I wanted that film to end, because that's how it should have ended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Alex, you're
right. I enjoyed it enough. I was kind of like entertained enough as I went along. I thought the effects were really good. Some quite nice shots. Yeah, I think the first film is very clever, because it almost it's telling you this very human story about a search for a cure for Alzheimer's. And then it just sideways suddenly. It's like, oh, by the way, monkeys can talk. Like, it kind of blindsides you in a really interesting way. And it's like, oh, shit, I've like James Franco's basically, oh, shit, I've fucked everything up. And that's kind of what's in. And this just felt like a very generic, obvious, that it just hit a lot of cliches, didn't it? And,
exactly. I mean,
and none of the acting's very... I know, I'm sorry to the... motion capture community. I know that's acting as well. I get it, right? But like the acting isn't very good. Like the human acting isn't very good. And the monkey acting's great, but it's more on the effects, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I find it very boring. And Chris is exactly right that it doesn't need to be a film. And like you say, like the idea of making a prequel and that bit and the prequel being that first film is really clever and really good. And just seeing that, like, do you see the rocket going to space with the?
Yeah, you do.
It's on the telly.
So that's lovely.
Yeah,
and just leave it at that. And like Chris says, this is dragging out a third act into like endless films that you don't need.
Yeah, because we're at four now. And
because who gives a shit about this? We've seen the prequel. We would just remake the 8-bit.
They don't develop. They needed to develop the disease a little bit more. Because actually, in the third one, there's another round of disease, and it makes humans lose the ability to talk.
Oh.
So they go back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because that's what the woman's like.
So humans lose their civilization.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that is a development which should have happened in the second one.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
This is more like a TV series, isn't it, actually?
Yeah.
You can see this being like a spin-off TV show thing, which I wouldn't watch. Right, let's rate it. Science.
Pretty poor.
Yeah, not great. It's not really
the way the humans are behaving. Like, if you had to, keep the race going, they're not doing clever things.
No, they're not.
You don't hang out in downtown San Francisco now.
Yeah,
like, why would you do it when there's no food?
No.
Yeah, it's very comic book. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the apes are still pretty cool, aren't they? Yeah. The idea of the flu's quite cool. Craft
high because the special effects are really good.
Yeah, it's just like the best.
Yeah.
Like an 8.
Yeah.
8? Okay.
Yeah. It's even better than the first one. You can see them progressing in what they can do in each film. It's like amazing.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, there's one bit. When Kobo falls down the thing, it looks terrible. Other than that, you never really...
No, you don't really question the thing that it tapes. It's just really good.
No. I think art's a lot low, though, for me.
Yeah, because the script's not very good.
Script's not very good.
It just repeats itself a lot, doesn't it? Like a four?
Yeah, it's got that one nice shot, as we said, but I think, yeah, four or five.
And it seems very... Four. Like, four. It's got no scale to it. It seems very...
Yeah.
Yes,
like in a shopping centre, in, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it feels really cheap. It feels really cheap, the human bits especially.
It's a bit like what happened to World War Z, you know, where they just had to reshoot a load of it in Wales in a hospital. Yeah, like.
It felt, and also like 170 million. It was. It's not a cheap film, which is. I guess it's all gone on making Andy Serkis look like a monkey, I suppose, isn't it? That's the.
Because he was King Kong, so it's making him look like a monkey again.
I wonder how many fucking DVDs have got a feature of him. In an outfit, you know, there's so many films, isn't there? And then, like, cutting to camera, he's like, "Oh well, you know, I'm giving, I'm treating this ape like a Shakespearean character
as Rada."
Yeah,
we
people never used to appreciate that the animal characters are actually.
And they just cuts to him going, and they go, "Thanks, Andy. Yeah, go for another take." And then the guy goes, "Sometimes we don't even turn this equipment on. We just we animate it afterwards. He just thinks we're filming it."
But anyway, significance
low, because I mean we can't remember the name of it at all.
That's true.
And this really is like a film on a road to somewhere else. It's like it doesn't achieve anything. Like
You could go from one to three. Couldn't you miss this and you'd be fine.
Big time.
Yeah, so it's a three at most.
Three. Yeah. Three.
Not first in franchise, not Cushman, not Poppins. Let's tilt this. 3, 2, 1, tilt. Got a 4 from me, a 4 from Alex, and a 5 from Chris, giving us a 0.496. Oh, shit, that's the wrong box. Oh, what have I done to this?
It's all gone to shit.
I've broken the list, hang on.
You're below Revenge of the Sith at a 0.497.
But what above 496.
You're below Revenge of the Sith, but above Mimic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about fair. I mean, you know,
496.
What is going
on? It's quite a lot like Revenge of the Sith in a lot of ways.
Oh, damn it! No, because that's a part three. Yeah, if only it had been Attack of the Clones, I would have let you have that.
Yeah.
Is Andy Serkis not a creature in Revenge of the Sith?
He's Snoke, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's Snoke.
Fuck me. The thing is, most people don't think about the fact that this emperor, what is he? Is he a clone? Is he a new character? I imbue him with all of that by jumping around with my hat on.
There's our sketch show sorted.
Yeah. Brilliant. Right. Well, that's the end of this episode. We put it in the list. What number was it, Alex?
I didn't see the number. I just
39. It's number 39 in the list. Yeah. Below, above Mimic, below.
Why is it broken for you?
I've just merged some cells. I need to fix the merging. I'll do it afterwards. Cool. Right. If you want to tell us some films to watch, sciencefictionratingsystem@gmail.com. We will be back next week with a film that we don't know what we're doing yet, do we?
No. Yeah, we do.
Do we?
Insurrection, isn't it? No, it's one of the...
Star Trek 2009. Yes, correct.
Yeah, which is it Insurrection?
No. Just called Star Trek.
It's Star Trek. It's a reboot.
Just called Star Trek. The reboot.
Don't watch Insurrection. That'd be a big...
You've
watched Insurrection.
No, I haven't. I'd taken Insurrection out of my Blu-ray library to get ready to watch. But right, I would. Okay. Oh, so it's the
Chris... We've seen Nemesis since then as well.
It's the Chris... The Beastie Boys one. The one with the Beastie Boys track in it.
Yeah. Well, that's in the third one as well, isn't
it? Is it?
They love that song.
No, they bring it back. They really love it.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Carl Urban is a treasure, and I enjoy his McCoy. But we'll talk more about that.
See how time has treated Star Trek 2009. Brilliant. Join us for that next week. Thank you both. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye.